This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's Radio Free Radio.
Broadcasting from the heart of Vancouver's downtown east side, this is the Pivot Legal Society podcast. To get involved, to donate, or to learn more, visit us online at pivotlegal.org. Now, here are your hosts, the Pivot Podcast crew.
Welcome to the Pivot Podcast. I'm Carolyn Wong, and I'm here with Scott Berenstein, staff lawyer with Pivot Legal Society. And last evening, Scott and I were at City Hall watching the proceedings with regard to amendments to street and traffic bylaw, which was rather interesting because it was actually related to freedom of expression issues. And Scott, can you tell us what happened last night? Why was this bylaw being amended?
Sure, Carolyn. The bylaw was after a Court of Appeal decision by the British Columbia Court of Appeal that found that the bylaw was unconstitutional because it prohibited political structures on the street. So what the subject of this bylaw came from a group, a spiritual practice in China, Falun Gong, and they had been protesting human rights abuses in China. So the Falun Gong in China are subject to all sorts of atrocities, things like organ harvesting and labor camps and imprisonment. And the Falun Gong had set up a protest outside of the Chinese consulate back in 2001. And this was a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year vigil. So somebody was occupied there meditating. And what they had done is they had created a small shelter hut to keep the person out of the elements, out of the snow and out of the rain. And they also had erected a billboard describing some of these atrocities. The important point here was that the place that they located this protest structure was right outside the Chinese consulate in Vancouver. And it was also on a major thoroughfare that Chinese visitors coming into Vancouver would come from the airport, go down Granville Street, and see this. So it was it was their place that they chose to do this.
And so what happened? They were asked by the city to take this structure down?
Well, the structure stayed up for quite a long time, so it was actually up for about 5 or 6 years with nothing done. And the important point to note is this: the structure was located on a grassy boulevard, so this was not a sidewalk or the street. It wasn't causing any obstruction, but so they were out of the way, and there was no real problem with it as far as safety or obstructing anything. And the city in 2006 went to enforce their street and traffic bylaw, which prohibits it's very broad. It prohibits placing anything on the street without a permission, and anything that encroaches on city property or obstructs is prohibited. So they used this bylaw. They went into BC Supreme Court, and they got an injunction against the Falun Gong to say remove it. So the Falun Gong appealed that decision, and they did it on their charter right to express themselves through a structure that and the Court of Appeal found that they had that right, and their charter rights were being infringed by this. And because the city of Vancouver just had a blanket prohibition and didn't allow any kind of political structure at all, it was unconstitutional.
And so it went to the Court of Appeal, and what did the Court of Appeal tell the city that they needed to do?
So the Court of Appeal gave the city 6 months. They said, your bylaw is unconstitutional. We're going to strike it down, but we'll suspend that for 6 months until April 19th, 2011, midnight, and then go fix your bylaw.
Okay, so last night, it was April 19th, we were there in City Hall, and the city staff lawyers were presenting these amendments to a bylaw another proposed bylaw that they'd introduced, and they were making amendments to it. Can you walk us through a little bit about what happened there when they put out that bylaw and then these other proposed amendments that they put forward last night?
Sure. So the important point is that this thing sat, nobody heard anything about it for 5.5 months. And 2 weeks ago, at less than 36 hours before a council meeting where they were going to be asked to vote on this, the city staff dropped a regulation that would be an amendment to this absolute prohibition on the bylaw. So let me say, though, the city of Vancouver, part of the reason the Court of Appeal struck this down was because it has all sorts of regulations that control different kinds of expression. So things like commercial speech, which might include, or commercial expression might include things like advertising signs and billboards and sidewalk little teepees that they set up with things like that. They also had they have bylaws regulating things like artistic expression as well. So the Court of Appeal found that because they had all these other regulations and nothing for political expression, that was why it was unconstitutional. So what the city was trying to do at the 11th hour was put in a regulation for political structures. So about 2 weeks ago, They dropped this thing. We had less than a day's notice, or about a day's notice, of what these changes were going to be. The public came out in very strong to speak against this bylaw for the infringements, even the amendments, how they would affect freedom of expression, and also how we brought to the attention of the council how it would affect homeless people.
Right, so that was interesting because this was largely a discussion about freedom of expression. So can you explain to us what impact you see this having on homeless people and why you were there speaking last night?
Right, so I submitted twice. I submitted 2 weeks ago to the council, and I also submitted made submissions again last night, and we also did a written submission, which is available on the Pivot website, pivotlegal.org. And what I said was basically the idea of this bylaw starts with a blanket prohibition on erecting a structure or an object or putting a substance on city property. And so that's the starting point, is nothing's allowed. And then what they do is they create these different regulations and bylaws that carve off different areas that say, okay, this is allowed. We're allowing newspaper boxes. We're allowing street vendors. We're allowing advertising, you know, things like that, sidewalk cafes. So the problem that we have for the homeless is the absolute prohibition to putting up structures. So that would catch things like a homeless person setting up a tent on the same grassy boulevard where the Falun Gong were, or something similar. So they're not causing an obstruction, they're not causing a safety problem. So the problem is that in a Court of Appeal case, or this was another case in Victoria versus Adams, so the city of Victoria, they had prohibited homeless people who were camping in a tent city in a park. They had prohibited them from putting a shelter over themselves, so even a simple tarp. And the Court of Appeal struck this bylaw down as being contrary to the Section 7 rights of the Charter, where that's life, liberty, security of the person. So our argument was that a prohibition on setting up any kind of a shelter or a tent on city property is going to be contrary to this principle, this finding of the Court of Appeal.
Okay, so your opinion is quite different than the city staff lawyers, who said that they were looking at this new bylaw through charter lens, both in terms of Section 1 on freedom of expression and on Section 7, and they felt that it would hold up.
Right. Section 2B for freedom of the charter for freedom of expression, and also Section 7, and with regard to the issues of homeless and the Section 7 right to life, liberty, security of the person, the city of Vancouver's position was that the Adams case doesn't apply. They said our bylaws are different because we never permitted people to be in parks or on streets. So my argument was basically, how can an absolute prohibition that doesn't let homeless people be anywhere, how can that be more constitutional than the city of Victoria, which said, okay, homeless people can be here, but you can't put a tent over your head? And so that was the argument that, you know, there is no place for homeless in the city of Vancouver.
Yeah, there was a discussion last night about a little bit about the bylaws around city parks in Vancouver, no camping bylaw. So is that something that would also be of concern to you in relation to homeless people having a place to erect a structure and protect themselves? Or?
Well, absolutely, Carolyn. So the fact is that according to the provinces and the city's own numbers, there are about 17, and this is according to the homeless count of 2010 in Vancouver, there are about 1,700 homeless people in Vancouver. And according to the city, which they issued a press release on April 18th, there are 600 shelter beds that are open year-round in Vancouver. So if you do the simple math, there are about 1,100 homeless people in Vancouver who are not going to be accommodated by a shelter. So the city council, they argued, well, we have a kind policy. If we see a homeless person, we help them, we get them to a shelter, we do this and that, which is great, except there are still 1,100 people who cannot be accommodated in that way. And we say, you know, they have to go somewhere. And if they can't go to a park because the park prohibits them from staying overnight there, and they can't be on a city street because the city's street and traffic bylaw prohibits them from being over there and putting a tent or a tarp over their head, where are they going to go?
Right. So what happened last night then with this amended bylaw? I know that you put forward recommendations and that actually Councillor Wordsworth amended or proposed an amendment to the bylaw in light of your recommendations. Can you tell us what happened at that point of the discussion and debate in council?
Sure. So we put forth some recommendations for what a bylaw amendment might look like that accommodated the interests of homeless. And one of the issues that came up in the Adams decision was that this right to put a temporary shelter over one's head was dependent on the availability of shelter beds. So they said, well, if the situation changes and there's adequate shelter in Victoria, then this right may not, you know, we'd have to revisit it. This right may not still be there. But for now, while there were inadequate shelter beds, the right would be there. So one of the things we proposed was we said, well, while there are inadequate shelter beds in Vancouver, then this bylaw, this prohibition on putting up a tent on a city street that's not in the way shouldn't be, you know, shouldn't apply to homeless people. And we also said, well, okay, you know, it makes sense that homeless people shouldn't be able to put up a temporary shelter that blocks traffic, pedestrian traffic, or is a safety hazard. So we had a list of all these different types of, you know, ways that this right can be accommodated and still respect the city's interests in safety and public management of public space. So what happened was Councillor Wordsworth moved that this be amended into the bylaw. There was some discussion about enforcing it or endorsing it in principle, sending it to city staff. And in the end, what they did was they basically did not approve this amendment, but they did send the idea for consideration back to city staff. So we're hoping that this will lead to some more fruitful mm-hmm. discussions with city staff about how exactly they can allow for homeless people to be on the street where they have to be.
Let's come back to a minute to protest structures then. So now this new bylaw is in place, and what is that going to mean for protesters in Vancouver? And also, how does this maybe apply to bylaws that exist in other cities across Canada?
Okay, so the city of Vancouver, they kept patting themselves on the back furiously for how progressive they were, saying that, you know, we've searched high and wide across North America and could find no city that had any kind of bylaw permitting political structures. So therefore, we're doing a great thing and we're expanding this right to protest. So that's just wrong, and that's that's a case of kind of the tail wagging the dog, because what happened was the cities in Canada, most of the cities have this blanket prohibition like they do in Vancouver as the starting point. And the fact of the matter is that the Falun Gong vigil is very unique, and there is nothing like it nothing else like it in Canada. And the fact that this vigil is here and lasted, and the fact that the Falun Gong took the city to court, that led to our Court of Appeal finding that this absolute prohibition was unconstitutional. So it makes sense then, since the charter is something that's applicable across the country, that the these blanket prohibitions on political structures are also unconstitutional in all the other provinces. And so the problem is that it hasn't been challenged in the other provinces. So it's not that Vancouver is taking these great steps to accommodate political structures. The bottom line is that political structures are expression that is protected under the charter, and that goes across Canada. And so the Court of Appeals said basically, well, okay, your bylaw is unconstitutional, go fix it. And the real question we have to ask is whether the proposed amendment is a reasonable solution to the Court of Appeals task that they sent, and whether it's still constitutional, or whether it is constitutional or unconstitutional.
Yeah, there were a lot of representatives from the Chinese community at City Council last night, and a lot of Falun Gong practitioners spoke, and spoke very movingly, not only about the atrocities that they faced in China in labor camps there, but also about when they came to Canada and this belief that they had that they were going to have that opportunity for freedom of expression here. Under the new amendments, will they be able to continue their 24/7 vigil?
Yes and no. So the way the new bylaw amendments are structured, a group can apply for a permit to set up a structure. This is going to be a much smaller structure than the kind they had on Granville Street. So it's already reduced in size and scope. And they're going to be able to be at a location for 30 days, and then they cannot be at that location again for another 30 days. And so after 60 days of originally applying, then they can apply to go back to that location again. I'm sorry. And the other important factor is this was a 24-hour vigil, and the new requirement now is that these structures have to be removed at 8 p.m. and they can be from 8 p.m. till 8 a.m. the next morning. They have to be taken down. So a lot of these people from the Falun Gong are elderly. And they sit quietly and meditate peacefully, and the idea that they're going to be able to haul off this structure every night and bring it back is very limiting.
So that brings me to a question about if homeless or very low income people or marginalized people are wanting to protest in the city now, how is this new bylaw going to affect them or potentially affect them?
Right. So because there's a prohibition on these political structures from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m., things like overnight housing or protests in solidarity with homeless people or for housing are going to be prohibited. And so you can't set up your overnight protest with a structure like that.
And if you were to, what kind of consequences would you be facing under these new bylaws?
Well, they've enacted a minimum $1,000 fine for an infraction of this bylaw. So I believe that in itself is going to be unconstitutional, that a group might set up a thing like a red tent protest advocating for housing and the rights of homeless, do it overnight, and subject to a $1,000 fine for doing that. And it could be for each tent or each person. We're not really sure how they're going to enforce that and what they're going to do, but it seems really onerous, and it seems mean-spirited, and mm-hmm. I don't really see the logic of it, and a lot of protests like that type are intended to be out in the evening, and that's mm-hmm. that's the point of it, and that's part of the expression that's conveyed there.
Thank you so much, Scott, for letting us know about this bylaw and how it's going to impact people in Vancouver, and also the wider-reaching impacts across the country.
Thanks, my pleasure, Carolyn.
for listening to the Pivot Legal Society podcast. Be sure to join us again next week for another new edition. Pivot Legal Society. Equality lifts everyone. To learn more, visit us online at pivotlegal.org.